Welcome to the Waffle Zone. I'm your host, Steve. And on the line with me, up north on 35 in Tornado Alley, I have Matthew in Kansas City.
Hello! Hey! Boom. Huh.
Are the guys the house?
There you go. You're not in Kansas anymore, Matt.
No, I crossed the state line.
Yeah.
Via tornado, whatever. Do they give tornadoes a name here? I don't think they do they?
They name hurricanes.
But, yeah, they don't do it with tornadoes, though, do they?
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. It'd have to be a really bad one, I guess, so.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, yeah. The kingdom's still standing.
Well, that's good. That's good. I heard somebody talking about a member of the kingdom last night.
Ooh, who was that? But I'm wondering, because you've had some news from the kingdom happen down your way recently that you may or may not be aware of.
Some news from the kingdom.
One of the players got caught drag racing with someone else in, was it Dallas or was it Houston? I can't remember. And had a car accident. He ran into someone.
Uh-oh.
And yes, he had to turn himself in and he was arrested and all
God,
sorts of things.
Why are you doing that? Well, you got that kind of money.
Was it a Ferrari or a Ferrari? I mean, a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. I think it was a Lamborghini that he did it in.
Why don't you just go pay somebody to open up a track for you and let you race? There's places to do that.
Where's the excitement in that when you can just, you're on the street? It makes no sense to me, but I can imagine the stupidity. But he's just young.
Young and dumb, yeah.
Yeah. Full of cash. Because he's got to buy these people new cars and all this. He did hand it. And they walked away from the crash and left the scene of the crime.
Oh, God.
But then, because there was video of them all walking down the edge of the highway or whatever it was. But that's another story for another time.
Yeah. So how are we outside of that?
Oh, yeah. Good enough.
Good enough, yeah. Good enough is what Sammy Hagar said, so that's, I guess, what we are. So
could be worse. Can always be worse.
You know something that always makes you feel good? Usually makes you feel good. I'll say it. Let me answer it before you. I'm not asking a question.
Oof, I can't get it. I can't get it.
What it is that I'm talking about is music. You know,
there you go.
Music is always... It's always very good. It's important to the psyche. It's important. I think it's a very important thing to our mental health and all that good stuff. But
does it matter what type of music that it is?
It's whatever works for a person, you know, because music's art. I always say this, but I'll tell a quick story. There's a girl that was at a little gathering with my wife and daughter about 10 days ago on Thursday night, a couple of hours before Taylor Swift's album was going to be released. And her and my daughter are kind of friends, but they're both huge fans of Taylor Swift.
And my are they both on the gram?
Are they what?
Are they both on the gram? I'm trying to see if I know who this person is before you say it. Does this person sing, perhaps?
No.
Oh, okay. That's not who I was thinking of.
No, this... But they're both Taylor Swift fans, and they were talking about the album, and the girl was telling my wife that she was getting nervous about it, because she said, the album has been leaked, and all these people are saying really bad things about it, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like... As soon as my wife told me this later, I was like, you know, the thing is, first of all, art is subjective, you know? Like, if you look at a work of art... Listen to art, you know, everyone's got different ears. What you know, appeases one person's ears may, like country music. That's the easiest example I can think of when it comes to music, because I hate it. But, I mean, there's millions of people out there that love it, and it must do something for them. So, what do I know? I mean, as long as I don't have to listen to it.
Well, if you ask all those people, you know, there's thousands, hundreds of thousands, the millions of people listen to metal, but I don't get it.
Exactly.
So everyone's got their own little bubbles.
It's like food. This is the other best thing. It's like a lot of people like whatever on food, and you might hate something, but like, what is it? Olives, right? My son loves olives. I think they're disgusting.
I've just come into olives recently, where I've started to like. But your taste changed. I say every like 7 years.
Your taste can change, but ultimately, whenever she said all that, I saw the girl today, and I said, you know, the thing is, you don't have the same taste as anybody else, so you should never get worried about it, because what they may think is garbage is, like Sarah said it earlier, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure, basically. So,
but there's nothing wrong with a bit of garbage from time to time.
Sure, sure. I guess if you like Shirley Manson, sure. So yeah, I picked it up.
Very good.
I picked up the trash you were putting down.
I didn't have a whole lot to work with, so I thought I'll just throw it out there and see if it sticks.
So because of this, I mean, you know, life is hard. Life is not always easy. And I know personally music helps me through life a lot. I know it probably helps you through life a lot. So why don't you tell me what music worked for you this week?
Okay, let's start with some Motorhead then. Maybe Motorhead helped me this week. I don't know why I listened to this.
Did it make your day?
It really did. It was 1916. Did you talk about Motorhead last week for some reason?
Did I talk about
Motorhead? In some sort of context? Yeah, I think you or something came out.
I don't
about
recall.
Whatever. Something prompted me to go listen to this, like from 91 or whatever. And I remember when this album was out in the stores and that, but I wasn't listening to Motorhead back then.
Sure.
But, yes, I really, really like this album.
Okay.
So that started off my week.
1916. What's the closing song on that album?
It's a ballad. It's the little war track, and it's like a real poignant track. Is it called 1916? It probably is.
I wonder if I reviewed that album on Patreon. You can go ahead.
It's a very sad track to listen. Lyrically, it's a very sad track to listen to.
I'm going to try to look it
kids.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about these two kids that have falsified their ages so they can go away to fight. And one of the kids has died, and his friend's holding him in his arms as he's dying, and he's calling for his mum.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's a good song, but I do like that album. But that shifts the whole album once you get to that last track. It's an emotional track. I don't know. You've probably heard me talk about Yawn Land a long time ago. I haven't listened to him for a while. And I wanted to listen to him. He's a solo artist now for the most part.
Okay.
But at one point, he was in a band called Master Plan. And I think Gen was a bit of a fan of Master Plan, if I remember correctly. So Master Plan had part of the reason they started, or how they started, there was a guitarist, Roland Grappow, who used to be in Helloween.
Helloween, yeah, I remember that name.
Yeah, and that's how I kind of found Master Plan and got into them. So I went and listened to their first album.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, it's been a long time since I've listened to this, but I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
So from Master Plan, then I went to Helloween. And so then I listened to a couple of things, actually. I was in the mood to listen to, not Kiske, I wanted to listen to Andy Deris. And I was so impressed when I saw him in concert last year, because I thought, I'm really looking forward to seeing Kiske.
Mm-hmm.
But Deris is just, man, he's the man. I'll just put it like that. He's just such a nice, he just seemed like such a genuinely nice guy during that show. I was impressed.
How many singers have they had? Obviously, they had the guitar player that sang on their first album.
Kai Hansen. And so then they got my,
Kai Hansen, yeah. Kiske.
So Kai was on the first one.
Then Kiske.
And then Kiske come in.
So who was after him?
Andy Deris.
Did they have another guy after him?
No, then Kiske come back.
Okay. I thought they had a second. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, never mind.
Which is impressive that they can do that.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool. I think that's really neat that they can do that.
Yeah, because there's a lot of bands that can't even go back and play, you know, songs that someone else sang. Like Anthrax, that annoys me about Anthrax.
Yeah, they miss
Bush stuff.
They got so much stuff with Joey, though. It'd be hard to go back and, like, what do you pick out of the John Bush era?
Well, I wouldn't pick only.
That's one. I mean, I would take it. Well, I've heard I've heard him do that before actually once, and it didn't.
No, I don't think that it really worked. Not when I saw it.
Yeah.
But I mean, John Bush went back and they didn't just say, okay, we're only going to play John Bush era songs. They went back and played all the others. Of course, they
Yeah, but
kind of had to.
they had to with John Bush because that was their identity. And here's the difference. John Bush could pull it off. I don't think Joey Belladonna was capable of pulling off John Bush material. So,
True.
yeah.
Yeah. But then I think it's pretty well known for a bit of a John Bush fan. But yeah, so the Dark Ride, I would kill to see Helloween again. I was thinking about it. I'm not going to mention it
You would?
because, oh, it depends on who you're putting out in front of me, maybe.
I could think of some people.
Well,
You probably
let's
don't
not
want
name names.
me to bring them up though.
Probably not.
I brought them up the last couple weeks, so.
You did? You're worrying me. I'm not gonna take the bait.
Remember some people got murdered?
You are going back to that. I thought you were going back to that a few minutes ago. I was like, oh,
Let's
we won't
just
go there.
file that under Matt doesn't
Let's just,
remember.
yeah, let's sleep. Matt doesn't remember a lot of things.
I don't
Let's
want to
leave
be
him go today.
pedantic or anything here.
No, I'm not sure if you're trying to rub me the wrong way now or not. But the other Halloween album. But anyway, I'd really love to see Halloween again.
Yeah.
The concert. Halloween, the time of the oath, for the same reason above. I was just in the mood to listen to them. So this, keep in mind, this is Monday I'm telling you about.
You're still on Monday.
I'm still on Monday, so one, two, three, four albums in. Because Monday was a heavy listening day, apparently.
Yeah.
So last weekend, when Kirst was on, she was talking about the little festival that she saw in the Australian band called the Super Jesus.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, because we talked about that just real little bit. And I was like, oh, I want to go back and listen to them. So I listened to an album called Jet Age. And it has my all-time favorite Super Jesus song, The Secret Agent Man. And it's just like, that's a girl band singing, but it's just kind of like a guitar rock band from the early 2000s, maybe even late 90s.
Okay.
But I just listened to them a bit back in the day, not so much anymore. And then because I had heard the Super Jesus with a female-fronted vocalist, I was
Yeah.
like, oh, I might go and listen to some garbage. As it turned out,
Was it like what? Well, oh yeah, you did. You already mentioned Motorhead,
I did, and you've
though.
already mentioned Shirley Manson.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Was that during this call? I can't remember. I don't know if it was before the
I
call.
think so, maybe.
But yeah, so I started. I was like, oh, I'm going to go back and listen to the first Garbage because I touched on that in an episode about concerts and how they supported Alanis Morissette and what I thought of that, but what I thought of Garbage.
That's right. I remember that.
So it'd been a little while since I'd listened to this. I gave that a bit of a run and that come to an end. I was like, oh, I'm kind of vibing here on Shirley Manson. Go listen to Garbage 2.0 or version 2.0. And since it became World Garbage Day, I went and listened to Garbage is Beautiful Garbage. Because I think it was actually was it Earth Day? Like on Sunday or something?
Yeah, somebody. I read that somewhere in the week or something. I don't.
Yeah, I'd read that. And then I was thinking, oh, this is interesting. You had Earth Day the day before, and I've doctored it up to be Garbage Day. So then I listened to another album. So I pretty much stopped at three albums with Garbage, and I'd moved on after that. In my.
Well, four if you count Motorhead.
You know what? There's some people going to take issue with you saying stuff like that. And
No.
Georgie will be on your back.
Hey,
warning.
God bless Georgie. I love Georgie.
Yeah.
God bless Lemmy.
But
God bless Lemmy. There you go.
yeah, I don't know. I've come a long way on my head, and I like his spirit too, Lemmy. But anyway, Garbage Bleed Like Me. So their fourth album, I'd kind of fallen off by this point when they were, whatever this came out, I don't know, early 2000s, whatever. But I did like that album quite a bit, so I just kept pushing on.
Ah,
And
okay.
went to Not Your Kind of People. So what am I, like five albums in now? And this is all still Monday, so they
You're
must be still out.
this is the this is yeah, we're gonna have something in
And
common.
I'd realized at this point I was just going to keep pushing it through and see if I could get through the whole catalog.
Yeah.
But then I hit an album called Strange Little Birds, and I was like, oh my God, this is a pretty tough listen.
Yeah.
It's just dark, and I think it was changing my. This album was changing my mood. Like you talk about what moods or how moods can change listening to music.
Sure.
This did it. And I was like, yeah, I just don't need to hear any more of this. I was
Yeah.
just getting bummed and whatever.
Yeah.
So But I was in the mood to hear some more girls singing. And I must have read something bad about Evanescence recently. I'm sure I have. Well, someone's mentioned.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it was one of your mates. That's what it was.
Yeah, no names. I'm trying to think of who it was.
Not even a type of vegetable. Don't even mention what type of vegetable it was.
Yeah. You
telling me about that?
I've never met the guy, so he's not my mate.
Someone from the Cabbage Patch or something like that.
That's right.
I went and listened to Evanescence's Fallen, their first album. I really liked this.
That's Jesse's mate. Came.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah. I think he might be okay. I don't know. I've never spoken to him or had any interactions.
Yeah.
Other than to see he's got some interesting takes on Seventh Son.
Yeah, Jesse loves
it. Yeah. Seventh Son?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really liked this album when it came out. And what was it, Bring Me to Life?
Yeah.
Like, I used to like that song. I thought it was pretty cool. But I saw them in concert in Melbourne. And they were filming it that night, too. I remember a sign outside. It was like a little place. Was it Auden Festival Hall or Auden Pavilion? I get the two mixed up.
Yeah.
Smallish kind of place, and they were going to film it. I was like, oh, this will be interesting. Maybe we'll be on the video they do.
Yeah.
But it's the only time I've been at a show where a band started a song, they must have made a couple of mistakes in like a minute or a minute and a half, 2 minutes into the track, and started over.
Oh, wow.
And I'm also, but they probably did that because they were filming that show too, maybe.
Yeah.
But that was a good one. And that's where my Monday finished.
Okay. So how many albums was that for Monday?
Oh, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Ah, okay, hang on. So Evanescence was really late afternoon, then I finished it next morning, now I think about it.
Okay.
So 11 and a half. And then, so the start of the next day, I felt like listening to Dio, but I didn't want to listen to the Dio band. So I was going to go try some Rainbow.
Okay.
And I had a little bit of a listen. I was like, no, this is not vibing for me either. So it left me one other place to go to. And it wasn't Elf. I wasn't going back to that. I went and listened to Heaven and Hell, which I quite liked under that. And then, so that was Tuesday morning. And then the last thing that I listened to twice was by our mate Bruce.
Okay.
His little project. And I listened to that twice today, so there was like a big gap between Tuesday morning and...
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. So who knows what it could have been like if my week was different.
Yeah. Well, my week started strong like yours, and it just kept going, so...
Yeah. But I'm going to say that the project, I'm not allowed to call it... I can't say I dragged because people get annoyed, apparently.
The Mandrake project you're talking about?
That could be it.
That's it. Yeah.
I was just trying to save a little bit of time. That's all I was trying to do.
you're not in a rush. Come on.
You don't know what sort of rush I've been in this weekend. Trust me.
Yeah, but now you shouldn't be in a rush. I hope you're not in a rush when you're on here.
No.
I want you to be kind of nice and chill. This is your laid back chill time. Hopefully.
Yeah, I got things to do after this. Unfortunately, but no, I'm still really, really digging on this. Now I only listened to it twice. I listened to it weekly.
Yeah.
Because I'm just pacing myself. I don't want to keep listening to it over and over. And I didn't want to listen to it a second time today.
Yeah.
But I kind of couldn't help myself. And I love every check on this still. And I even went back to listen. I didn't listen to the whole album. I only listened to certain tracks of Chemical Wedding.
Okay.
Which was my favorite album by Bruce before. And I said during the little Bruce episode that we did that this is my new number one album.
Yeah, you did. You did say that.
And nothing has changed.
Okay.
I listened to it, and as good as the songs are, Chemical Wedding, I was like, man, I want to go back and listen to Mandrake again.
So do you think you've caught up with Bill yet?
Oh, no.
Do you think you'll ever catch up with Bill on that?
I think that Bill will probably wind down. No, I'd have to.
There's only one way you'll ever catch up with Bill.
Well, it's because he keeps putting episodes out on this, that, and the other, and he listens to everything 30 and 40 times. I'll have to catch up with Mandrake. His time's moved on to something else now.
Nah, I think he's probably up to 100 listens by now, you know?
I've got to be at like 20 something now.
Wow.
Early, very, very low 20s is what I'm guessing.
That's impressive, I think. You know, I mean, I mean, what? Now Bill would just, you know, be like, you're still in your crawling phase with the album.
He'd call me, he'd probably slap me and say, you're just a rookie.
He'd say, yeah. He'd say, you haven't even started grade school yet.
So. He's like, you're just an infant.
Yeah.
You're in your infancy yet.
I was about to say something, but...
Are you picking up what I'm putting down without saying any more?
Kind of. I was gonna say, you know, sometimes when babies, they feed a certain way. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. So, I'll get there, I think, in about another 4 months.
Golly,
I'll be where... I'll be where Bill is now, I reckon.
Wow. Which by that stage, he'll be at like, you know, a couple hundred listens. And
I don't think he will. I think he'll be onto other albums because he's got all this material to
That's true. That's true. You know, he's only got, unless he's got some kind of weird fix on the day, you know, like he got more hours than we do.
Maybe.
You know, he has got like a 14-hour head start on us.
He does. Yeah, he's 17 hours ahead or something. So using his hours wisely.
He's in Sydney. I think that's. Maybe, is that 19?
No, it's 17. 17, it's okay. Either 15 and 17, depending on daylight saving.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, let me get into what I listen to, because I listen to quite a bit, too, and I kind of teased a little bit to you that there was something kind of interesting. There's a lot of interesting stuff on here, I think, but I started my week one way, and then I... okay, so here's what I did. Day one, this is Monday... first album I listened to, and I don't usually keep track of what day it was, but I was listening to so much that day. I was like, God, I'm gonna put these in order like Matt does a little bit and see if I can. So I started out with Black Sabbath's Master of Reality. Last couple weeks ago, you mentioned it, and then I told
I listened to half a song and moved on.
Yeah, well, I told you last Sunday we were eating somewhere, and I heard Sweetleaf being played.
Yeah.
And it made me want to listen to it. So on Monday, I did listen to it. And listening to that, I really wasn't sure what I wanted to listen to. But it made me crave Ozzy. And I didn't know which album I wanted to listen to by Ozzy. So I just thought, you know what? I kind of scrolled through the albums real quick and I went, The Ultimate Sin, that sounds like a good one to listen to right now. So I played The Ultimate Sin. Then I went back in time and I played Bark at the Moon. Then I went and listened to an album that I wanted to listen to on March 19th. 18th? 19th? I think it's 18th. March 18th. The Ozzy album called Tribute. It's the Randy Rhoads Tribute album. And I was going to listen to it the day he passed away. I didn't ever get to it, but I decided to listen to it. I haven't listened to it in a long time, and he's so amazing to listen to.
Was he only on one album, or was it two?
He was on Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman, and then, of course, the Tribute album. So,
yeah.
Unbeknownst that it was going to be a live album at the time. Then I fast-forwarded, because I thought, you know, let me get... I didn't want to listen to the first two albums for some reason. I didn't want to listen to the Zach albums. So I fast-forwarded to Black Rain, which I can't remember if that's a Zach album or a Joe Holmes album. I've been told multiple times by Ryan and Dan and them, but I can't remember. Listen to Black Rain. That's one that I got on a couple of years ago now whenever I was on their podcast and we did a battle. That was a lot of fun. Did it with your mate George from... formerly of the Judas Priest cast.
I hope it was consensual.
Formerly of Metal Gods. So, and then
Where is he now?
He's got a new podcast out.
He does. He's not even on this world anymore.
He's on the Metal Planet, right?
He is. Another planet altogether.
Yeah. And then I finished out my Aussie listening with his newest album, Patient Number 9. It's one I haven't listened to as much as I should, but every time I listen to it, I really like it. It's amazing that it's that solid of an album given the state of Ozzy, you know, and you know, the age of Ozzy and what he seems like he's got left in the tank. But
question, yes. What do you prefer? Oh, well, actually, I wonder if I know the answer to this. What would you prefer out of Ozzy Black Sabbath and Ozzy Solo?
Solo.
You would?
Yes.
Yeah. I was just wondering what would be a bigger group. of like the people, the masses, what would the masses prefer?
I think the generic masses would maybe just throw out Black Sabbath, but I know that I've talked to Ryan and Dan from the Ozzy podcast, and they both have the same opinion I do. I like the old material, but I got into Ozzy as a solo artist. Maybe if I had gotten into him when he was in Sabbath, it would have been different. Maybe I would feel different. But yeah, I just, he's got a lot more material, a lot more wide variety of material, and I mean, I like all the Sabbath stuff too, though, that he did. So I wasn't sure where I wanted to go from there. I was like, okay, I've had enough Ozzy now. I've got what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 albums with Ozzy vocals. Let me change it up. And I thought, well, you know what? Let me have a little tie to Ozzy here. The Bark at the Moon tour. Do you know who opened for Ozzy on the Bark at the Moon tour?
Oh, I got no idea.
And what album they were supporting? It's
The
what
band that.
your
Oh,
mate,
I am not Metallica.
your nope, your mate, Vince Neil.
Motley Crue supported Ozzy.
Yeah, on Shout at the Devil tour. So they were, it was Bark at the Moon and Shout at the Devil.
Oh, did you go on a Motley Crue binge?
Nope. I listened to Shout at the Devil, and I thought about going to Theater of Pain, and I just thought, nah, that's enough. And then because of Ozzy, I thought,
Hang on, stay on Motley Crue for a second.
yeah.
So the news about them putting out new music, does that interest you at all?
funny enough that you say that. Right before we got on here, I something popped onto Twitter and I saw about their new song, and so I turned their new song on for a minute. It
Yeah.
was okay. It wasn't terrible, so.
Is it just generic?
It might not be generic. I don't know. It was okay. I mean, but look, I honestly haven't had any real interest in Motley Crue. I mean, I've had Shout at the Devil, I love. I liked Theater of Pain. I don't think I ever owned Girls, Girls, Girls or Dr. Feelgood. I owned the self-titled album with John Corabi because that was a change of pace and it was different and really cool by them. I've never owned another Motley Crue album. I might have owned their first album at one point, but I've never even heard probably anything after the self-titled album, other than a random thing here or there that got played somewhere. So that's my interest in my. But Shout at the Devil still, God, it's just amazing. It's good start to finish. It's so good. It's creepy as hell too when you listen to that intro. It's called In the Beginning.
I don't think I've ever listened to it. I'm sure I haven't. Oh, actually, hang on, that's not true. What songs are on that?
It's got In the Beginning, it's got Shout at the Devil, Red Hot, Too Young to Fall in Love, Danger, Looks That Kill,
Do you know?
Helter Skelter.
When I was 15, I'd gone to Bali. Oh, okay. This is when I was
Whoa,
15. No, no, no.
whoa,
This is pre what? Yeah, no,
whoa.
since I
Okay.
said
This is before the Bali Boys incident.
it. Yes, because I've been there a number
Before
of
you were touched
times.
by the hand of God.
Apparently, I don't think that was God. Anyway.
The hand of the trods.
Yes, it was. But anyway, the first time I'd gone there. Because it used to be, like to go there and buy cassettes and stuff like. Because this is before CDs when I was there,
Yeah.
to buy cassettes and that was just dirt cheap. And I do remember getting like a double cassette now that had Theater of Pain and Shout at the Devil. And I guess I don't know what it took because I didn't listen to it very often, but I did have it.
Yeah.
So I forgot
Well,
about it. And
it was
I bought it because it was only $3 or something
yeah.
like that.
I mean, that's a solid. I just love that album. I mean, as much as I'm not a big Motley Crue fan, I mean, that album is just, it is the super high standard of an album for me. I mean, and they were kind of not pressured to make that album that way, but they were, hey, let's do this as an album. Let's focus in this area, I will say this, the new video, there were lots of throwbacks to old Motley Crue stuff everywhere. In the it's like I remember seeing a sign that said "Girls, Girls, Girls" on it. They had the big, pentagram from, the Shout at the Devil era, and I saw a few other little things that I kind of recognized from Motley Crue lore, So it's
Did
like,
Mick
huh?
get a bit of a run through the? Did Mick get a show through the
I
video?
didn't make it through the whole thing. I watched about maybe half of
Oh,
it.
I sorry, I thought you meant a video clip.
No, I turned on the video and it started out kind of cool. And I mean, I watched maybe half of it, and I was like, okay, that's enough. I mean, it's not, I'm not going to go buy anything they put out, or I'm not going to download it and start listening to it. So,
yeah.
Okay, so after that, I was still in a little bit of the Aussie thing, and I thought, you know, who played guitar on Bark at the Moon? Jakey Lee. So then I went and found the most recent album he ever recorded that I'm aware of. He had a band called Red Dragon Cartel, and their album was called Patina. And so I played that album, and have you ever heard Badlands, that band?
I've heard of them. I don't know if I've heard.
Yeah, it was Ray Gillen, you know, the guy that had AIDS and was still having sex with groupies and got a couple.
Oh, have you talked about that recently?
It's come up. this album reminded me a little bit of that band, you know, kind of, just because that's Jakey Lee's style. Obviously, the other guy's got a different voice than Ray Gillen has had this incredible voice. And this other guy, I thought he had a good voice too, but I enjoyed the album. I mean, I've heard it before. I enjoyed it. So there's a band that I'd been wanting to play a lot recently. And recently I was chatting and I'm wondering if your mate over there in Sydney, Bill, would have ever listened to this album, because we were talking the other day about a video series that came out in the, I guess it was the 80s, and it was called Hard and Heavy.
I
used to have a bunch of those, and I wonder, if he'd ever, I'm sure he discovered some bands from it, but one band that I discovered from it and went out and bought their cassette back in the day was a band, and they were called Rocks Gang, R-O-X-X, Rocks Gang, and the album was called Things You've Never Done Before. And they had a video on one of those things, and it was just a really cool sounding song, enough to make me go out, you know how it was back in the day, sometimes you just bought stuff blindly. I didn't care what they looked like so much as I thought, man, that song is really good. And the album, I'd say it's about 60 good, 40 bad, you know, not bad, but just kind of cheesy. And six of the songs I think are pretty good. But I listened to that album. It's called Things You've Never Done Before. Then I went back to the Aussie thing. Who opened for Aussie on the Ultimate Sin Tour? You mentioned him a minute ago, Metallica.
Yeah.
I decided, you know what? I'm going to listen to Master of Puppets. I played Master of Puppets, and man, I loved it. It was so good. And then I thought, you know what? What did I get next by Metallica? I got the 598 EP. So I played the 598 EP. And after the 598 EP, I started the next album, And Justice for All. And I don't know if I made it through And Justice for All before Monday was over. I think it might have taken me into the next day, because I can't remember. I remember pulling into my driveway listening to Dyer's Eve. You know what? I think I did make it through. And I know that's your favorite. I know that's your favorite.
Yeah. Off those two albums, the closing tracks are my absolute favorites.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So I listened to 11 and a half albums. If you count the 598 EP as half, I listened to 11 albums and an EP on Monday. That was Monday.
That's a lot of listening.
Now, you kind of inspired me to listen to this next band, and not for any reason you would think. It's because when the band name came up a week or two ago when we were doing an episode, you asked me, you like them? And I was like, yeah. I don't know
who that was now.
I do. It was.
Oh, hang on. You're gone.
It was the Bullet Boys.
Oh, my God. Yes. That's come flooding back.
Yeah. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to listen to the Bullet Boys, because I really was a big fan of them for a while. And so the first album I listened to was their last album I ever saw them play a live show for. It was called Zaza. And the second album I listened to was called Freak Show. The third one was their self-titled. And then I listened to a covers album that they did called Rocked and Ripped. And I got to say,
what'd they cover?
Oh, God. The opening track was Dr. Feelgood. It was, let me look on here and see if I still have the album. I think I'm pretty sure I deleted the album. strayed away from my phone because it was just, I thought
you
it
didn't
was,
want a record of it, no one tracing your history.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty bad. So Dr. Feelgood, Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi, Take Me Home Tonight by Eddie Money.
Huh.
I'll tell you when I thought one of them was good.
They're actually good songs, though.
Yeah, well, yeah. Faithfully by Journey. I thought he did okay on that. Oh, you'll really like the next one. Balls to the Wall. Oh, it was okay. It's a cool... That riff is so cool that it was made it okay. Free Fallin' by Tom Petty, which, yuck. I think I fast-forwarded past that one. I don't want
to
hear
it. See, I don't mind that, but I'm also not subjected to it very often. If I hear it once a decade, that's enough. I don't mind it if I hear it.
Renegade by Styx. It's a good song. The next few songs I never had heard before. One was called Falling in Love. One was called Effin' Perfect, which I think they said was a Pink cover. One was called The Rover. I can't remember who these songs were by. Hold on, I'm going to tell you who these songs were by because I was a little baffled at some of these covers were by. Okay, let me get down here to where it lists them because I was really shocked at some of who these covers. One of them was there was, like I said, Pink. Okay, where are we at? But you know what? Where's the band? Where's the names of the albums? Here we go. Albums. Okay, let me scroll down to the bottom. Okay, so there's a song called... Falling in Love apparently is a Scorpions song. Okay. Effing Perfect is a Pink song. The Rover, I'm sure Kirstie's probably screaming it out. It's a Led Zeppelin song. There's a song called I'll See You in My Dreams by a band called Giant. Then there's a song called Colder Weather by the Zac Brown Band, which I think that's a country band. I don't know.
Zac Brown. Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah.
They've got some sort of mainstream appeal.
There's a song called Rehab by Amy Winehouse, and that was garbage. It was terrible.
I don't even know who she is.
I know you're going to laugh because this next song is by a band you probably would know since you talk about A-ha all the time. But it's a song from that era, and he did a really good job on it, actually. It was called Broken Wings.
Who does that?
It's Mr.
Do you want to know a funny little story about that? Oh, we'll come back to it.
Okay. Last song he did was Tiny Dancer by Elton John. It was a rough album to listen to. I fast-forwarded through a few songs. I didn't make it through every song. But, yeah, that was the last. But I want... Okay, tell me your story, and then I'll give you my overall summation of listening to these albums.
No, I was just thinking... So I was in primary school when that song was huge.
Yeah. Broken Wings.
Yeah. And I remember... Where was I? I think I was in Rolling Stone for a school camp. And... Everyone had to put these little skits on. For some reason, I was thinking I was in this little skit. It was something to do with trying to heal this little bird with its broken wings and all. And I was like, that's not what I was doing. It was just silly stuff. I was in one, what was it? It's an Elvis song. Jailhouse Rock? I think it was that.
Jailhouse Rock is one, yeah.
But for some reason, we had Mohawks. I don't remember why. Because it makes no sense to have Mohawk for Elvis. When you said that, just took me back to that night.
Interesting.
Little concert night. I was like 10.
It doesn't remind you anything about a certain night in Bali, does it?
Nope. Not at all.
Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve or whatever it was?
Man, I was in primary school, what I'm talking about.
Okay. That's right. So I was a big fan of the Bullet Boys back in the day.
That does surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, I just... You know, I had a friend that was into him as well. I can't remember what got me into him, but we liked him. And of course, I went to see him at a club, and then I met him, and that was cool as hell. You know, like going, holy crap, I've seen these guys on MTV, and here
is
they
that
are.
80s, late 80s, or is that in the 90s?
It would have been when I met them. It would have probably been. I'm trying to think. It seems like it was 1990. It was around the time the Black Album came out. Was when I met them, because I remember. The lead singer the opening band was called Black Eyed Susan, which you never would have heard of, but the lead singer you definitely would have heard of. He was named Dean Davidson, Dizzy Dean Davidson.
Why would I have heard of him?
He was the lead singer of a band called Brittany Fox.
I know him. I wouldn't have known what his name was.
Yeah. So his band was opening, and I remember when I was talking to him before the show or whatever, and I was wearing a Metallica shirt, and I remember him saying, "Have you heard the new Metallica album yet? Is it any good?" You know, because when the Black Album was coming out, I mean, it was just the talk of everybody, because they were ready to just explode, you know, even more so. Yeah. So, but when I listened to, their album called Freak Show and their album called, or their self-titled album, I kind of got really embarrassed for them and how annoying it was, some of their songs, how overtly sexual and just over the top they were. One of the albums has a song called Do Me Raw.
Oh, God.
Okay. It reminded me of, they
what
got,
was that about?
I think it was about, like if you're skateboarding and you fall down and you get a raw scratch on your leg. Yeah.
Not Rand Uncle Frank's house for a barbecue.
Yeah. but I just, you know, I was cringing at so much of it, because it was just the attitude of those guys. And it was like, I thought, especially after having listened to so much Cinderella and knowing how Tom Kiefer came across when you saw him in interviews and stuff, yeah. I thought Tom Kiefer came across like this was his career and it was important to him to take things seriously to a certain degree. They came across just like annoyingly obnoxious. And a lot of the songs came across that way, and I just thought, I just don't ever see myself going. There were good songs on both albums that I still liked, but there was a lot of stuff that I thought I used to might have liked and just thought.
Was it the music or the lyrics? Just the lyrics?
It was a combo of the vocalist, and I like his vocals, but it was a combination of the way he sang and he was obnoxious the way you hear about David Lee Roth being obnoxious.
Mm.
I don't know how to describe it. Just that day, I remember just listening to that second album, because I went 3-2-1 in order that way. And the second album, like I really enjoyed the third one, because they took kind of a different turn on that album. Not a Headless Children serious turn, but they took more of a turn for them. It was a lot different compared to the overt sexuality.
Just more mature.
Yeah, a little more mature. And God,
but you're not. But you weren't overt, if I'm intended, to overt sexuality of music back then.
No. I mean, even now I'm not. But it just.
Because the first thing that comes to mind is Kiss.
Yeah, but I think it had to do with just the way the vocalist came across, just yelling and lots of just stupid things they would be doing in the middle of songs and stuff. And I just thought, God, this is just, it's cringeworthy. Just it's cringy listening to it now, knowing it. And now, there was a few songs on there that I was really rocking out to, going, man, I love this song still. But yeah, I just thought, I don't really see myself revisiting this again, at least not those two albums, probably much.
Yeah.
And I wasn't offended. I wasn't woke offended or nothing like that. I mean, I can deal with, I still like Animal by Wasp, so.
Yeah, but what's wrong with that? I see no problem with that at all, liking that. I think it's a great track.
Funny enough, I also listened to the self-titled album by Wasp, which featured three extra tracks from a single that had come out around that time called Animal, F Like a Beast. So the opening, you know what it means. I can't say it. I don't want to have to go edit myself.
I'm trying to think if I know that track. What is that?
How's
it go?
Here, let me
play. Off the first album. See, I don't listen to the first album.
This one contained extra tracks. It was like an extended edition. So the album opens with, instead of opening with I Want to Be Somebody, it opens with Animal. And then the last two songs are like, what is it? Show No Mercy. And because when Animal came out, there were three songs. It was like a cassette single. It was Show No Mercy and F Like a Beast. Come on, you dummy.
What does that mean?
It means shut the F up. That's what it means.
Is that what they talk about?
It's sexual in nature, Matthew.
Is it? No, you know, lyrics aside, I think that I like the melodies to that track.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Great, but, you know, unfortunately, people are going to bog it down because of this. I couldn't care less in this case what the lyrics are, and I think it's a pretty cool track.
Okay, I was wrong. I thought there were two extra songs. There was only one that was, it was Animal, and then Show No Mercy was the other extra song. And then it had, I guess, Paint It Black was a B-side to a single back then.
Oh, I love that track.
I don't, so I skipped it.
Not necessarily by them, but the track itself.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't want to hear it by them, so I skipped it. Let's see here. I know I skipped forward a little bit since Animal came up, but after talking about that. The next album I actually listened to was by a band, because I kind of was in this 80s mode. I just kind of wanted to listen to stuff that was easy listening. And so I listened to a band called Babylon AD. I listened to their self-titled album, and I loved that album back in the day. I still thought it was really good. And some of their lyrics are, you know, a lot of sex lyrics, but it just didn't rub me the wrong way because the singer wasn't acting like an annoying, just, the way David Lee Roth comes, you know how Sammy Hagar even is? Just too much, like, just too much energy at times. That's the way the singer from the Bullet Boys comes across in there. It just, I don't know, just, it's cringe. I would say I would listen to it with you to let you hear it, but I know you wouldn't want to listen to it anyway, so.
I don't think I've ever even heard of a Babylon AD. I thought it might have been a movie, not a band.
No, but they were a band. They're still around, actually, but I haven't really, I had their first two albums. I was going to go to their second album, but I got another band in my head called Shotgun Messiah.
I've heard of them, don't know them though.
Yeah, the guitar player is named, let's see, he was the bass player on their first album. Then on the second album, he became the singer because they changed really drastically. His name was Tim Scold, and he played with Marilyn Manson for a while. He was in a band called KMFDM, some kind of techno band or something. I'm not sure what they are. So they had two albums that I listened to. One was called Heartbreak Boulevard, and I about liked half of this album. I used to think I liked more, but yeah, I like about half of it. It was kind of cringy just to listen to it because it was so cheesy. Not because the lyrics were so bad, it was just so cheesy.
Yeah.
But they went from like an 80s era sounding kind of band with a little bit of an edge to the next album, which came out in like 92 or 93. It was called Violent New Breed, and it was like this techno hard rock sound that literally nobody else was doing. It was way ahead of its time, and I love that album. It's really good. It's called what did I say it was called? Violent New Breed. I remember seeing that in a club, them touring that in a club. Must have been like 50 people there. It was pretty sad because it was 93. You know, music scene was killed, and what they were doing was just different. So, one last band that I listened to, Matthew.
Yeah.
You've probably been thinking to yourself, well, Steve told me there was going to be a surprise in here.
No, I thought it was the Bullet Boys, so it wasn't that.
That was a surprise for you. I knew that you'd be surprised by that, but this next one is going to be even more of a surprise. Because a few weeks ago, we had what I would have to refer to as our mate, Villa, on the phone with us. Mm-hmm. And there was a band that we were talking about that none of us really could ever get into. Do you remember who that was? I bet Villa's yelling it out right now. I hear you, Villa. I hear you. Hush, hush, so Matt can say it. Or so
I don't know what it was.
He won't remember. Matt won't remember. So, okay, I'll just tell you.
I don't know what I did this morning.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Unfortunately, I do know what I did this morning.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we're not going to talk about it. So, yeah. It was a band, Matthew, from Europe. Not the band Europe, though.
I know, because I like Europe.
Yeah. It was a band from Germany.
Oh, the Scorpions.
Yes. So I thought...
Yeah, I was just thinking when I mentioned last week about Dora Pesch and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scorpions guy, I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
Klaus Main. Klaus. Or yeah. Main. So, I decided, you know what? I know that there's some guy that follows our podcast. I think he listens. I maybe listen still. It's a guy who laughs really hard at things that aren't funny. Like so hard that maybe it would cause pain in his abdomen.
For some, but not for others, perhaps. Is that what you're trying to?
Yeah, put pretty down? Much. But I know, yeah. I know that he is a huge fan of the Scorpions. Like he went, he went and saw them at an arena last year. He said they were really, really good. And they released an album. I remember hearing about it a couple years ago, like in 2022 or something like that, called Rock Believer. And I remember thinking, God, what the hell are they still releasing music for? Because their first album came out in like 72 or 73.
Was it that late? I thought it was earlier than that.
They formed in the 60s.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe their first album came out in 70. I don't know. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to go back and listen to... Because the album that we were talking about, I think it had come up because Bill had reviewed Love at First Sting.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to go and start looking through their albums and see if there's any songs I recognize. So I found this album called Love Drive, and it had a couple of songs that I recognized on it. One of them that I really like is called Holiday. I think that's on there. So I played that album, and I thought, you know what? That's pretty good. There's a certain element of them that I kind of dig. You know, I mean, I've never hated his voice. I've always liked lots of random songs, but again, I've just never, ever dug into them. Like, I just kind of thought, eh. And so I thought, you know what? The next album was Love at First Sting. So I said, I'll try that one, too. Because I'd heard Bill review it or whatever, and I've listened to it before. So I thought, I'll try it again. I listened to it, and I was like, you know what? It's not bad. I didn't mind it. So I just thought, well, you know what? Let me just fast forward all the way to now and listen to their newest album and just see, you know, what do they sound like now? And their newest album, I said, was called Rock Believer. And I got to say, man, I was blown away by how good I thought that album was. I was like, holy crap, man, this is 2022. These guys got to be pushing, you know, they're close.
70s.
Yeah, they're up there past, they're up there Nico's age or maybe past Nico. And I'm like, holy crap, you know, it's a pretty damn good album for what I expected, you know? And so I thought, you know what? I think I was at home that day. And so I just started playing albums. So I went and I was like, okay, I was reading about them and they said Blackout, you know, Blackout has Rocky Like a Hurricane and No One Like You on it, which everybody knows. So I played that one. I didn't like that one quite as much, but I was reading a description of him of their on Apple Music. Every album had a description. And one thing, because you talked about his vocals, and they said back in the 80s, all of these foreign bands and everybody was trying to sound American. And they said, but that's where Klaus Meine was different. He was unashamedly not trying to sound American, which really made him stand apart from the crowd, you know?
Yeah.
And when I read that, I just thought, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Because everyone, I mean, Bruce, Ozzy, Rob Halford, I mean, they all sang American-like. And him, there's just a different... He doesn't try to cover... Like, even guys like Kiss, they don't try to sing in a New York style. They try to, you know, because that's where they're from. They tried to sound not... Like, they didn't want you to hear their accents, which is what everyone else was doing in the 80s, I guess. And I read that, and I just thought, that's really cool. I like that. You know, I like that they were doing, you know, trying to be different. Or not trying to fit in, maybe that'd be a better way to say it. He wasn't trying to be different. He was just okay with being different, which is cool.
Being true to themselves.
Yeah, which is really neat. So then I was, you know, and at this point, I've got Wikipedia pulled up. I'm reading all about their history and just kind of where, at what point does it, because I know like they have a couple of albums right at the very beginning that are supposedly really bad. And I thought, I've tried them a long time ago, maybe once. I don't even want to mess with that. What's the first album that where it says they kind of went rocking? So they have an album called Virgin Killer.
Oh, yeah.
Which you might have heard a little bit about.
Because, I've heard of it.
I can't remember the concept. Because it has a cover.
Oh, yeah. It is the album cover. Yeah. I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
The album covers earlier.
Yeah, I'll just say what it is, just because I was reading about it, and apparently, well, no, I won't even. You know, things were different back then. They were trying to be artsy, and they didn't design their own album covers. You know, it was other people that did it, and but it got banned. It's been called child pornography at points, which I don't think that's what it was. But either way, I listened to that album, Virgin Killer, and I thought it's pretty decent. It had this guitar player on it named Uli John Roth, which I've heard of him over the years.
He's a fan of the bandana.
And I'll be honest, I didn't care for. He sang two songs on the album, and they were the two worst songs on the album because he's not a good singer compared to Klaus. Then I listened to, because I was just kind of going all over the catalog, and I finally just said, okay, let me just keep going here. So I went to Savage Amusement, which is the album that came out in 1988, which I always used to see it on MTV. They had this song called The Rhythm of Love. And that video was on MTV all the time. Like, so I recognized the cut, and then there was a song called Send Me an Angel. And I gotta admit, man, it is a fantastic ballad. I know that Bill probably wouldn't care for a ballad like that, but man, I just thought they're really good with ballads. I could be saying the wrong album, I don't know, but there's a really good ballad at the end of it. Then I listened to an older album. It was called Animal Magnetism, and I enjoyed that one. I listened to Crazy World, which came out after Savage Amusement. Then I listened to Face the Heat. Then I listened to, I fast forwarded because it wasn't on Apple Music. I listened to an album called Unbreakable, which came out in 04. So Face the Heat was 93 and Unbreakable was 04. And then I had to go and download a couple of albums just to complete the album listing. So the next one I listened to was called Pure Instinct. And that came out in like 96. So that's a lot of damn albums right there, right? A lot of Scorpions albums.
I was wondering where you're up to in the count.
Let's see. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 11 albums right there. And today I started one called, what's this one called? Eye to Eye. And in all the reading, all the hearing of over the years that I've heard of about the Scorpions, this is their album that's by far, well, outside of an album that gets the album cover gets considered child pornography. This is their most controversial. It's their most controversial album musically, because it. I was playing it in the car with Vanessa today, and she looks at me a couple times, just like, "You like this?" And I go. Because I just kept going, like a song would be playing, and there'd be just, it was like techno-y pop music. It was bizarre. And I would just go, wow, I can't believe that the Scorpions made this album. I mean, it's like, there's a few songs on there that sound okay, but it's a pretty terrible sounding album, just from the perspective of, imagine if, Wasp made an album that was real bubblegum pop techno. You know, it'd just be a band that's been a rock band for 35 years or whatever, and then they make that. It was bizarre to even hear it, you know? But so I'm almost all the way through that one, and that's as far as I've gotten. I've got let's see how many more albums I've got here to go. 'Cause I do I'm finding that I really that some One thing that I've discovered about the Scorpions in listening to this, and I don't know if it's because they're German and they have different sensibilities of what's good and not in their head. Sometimes they just have really dumb choruses. Like a song that, I'll give you an example. Like a song that I really like by them is Bad Boys Running Wild.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a clunky sounding chorus. Bad Boys Running Wild, you know? And I'm just like, ugh. Like it's a cool song, but it's just kind of clunky in places, and
just like the melody structure.
yeah, it's but overall, it's like the whole song is good, other than you know that to me. Okay, so what it looks like I've got here is after this Eye to Eye, I've got an album called Moment of Glory, which I think is an album they did with a symphony orchestra, because it's got a bunch of Send Me an Angel. But let's see here. Then I got one called Well, what the, oh, then I think this is an album where they re-recorded some songs of them, of theirs, called and some covers. It's called Come Black. It's like a come instead of a come back, a come black.
Yeah.
And the next album I've got is the Rock Believer album. So I don't know if there's, I think that's all of them. I don't know if they had made any other, I don't know if they were done because they were going out with a reunion or a one of those tours where they, what do they call it, farewell. And, but I was really impressed with that Rock Believer album. I was like, wow, this is really good, especially for a band so deep. You know, we've heard it from Maiden, you know, making good music at that age, and Judas Priest and Wasp, and it's just it's cool to think of them doing that. But I don't know, I might be moving into the being a Scorpions fan. So
Well, that's good. You found new old music.
yeah, and one thing I was trying to do also was trying to classify them, you know, because you like Maiden, you would go like, oh, they're kind of like progressive metal. But I was like, how do I classify the Scorpions? Because they don't ever come, they're not heavy metal. I don't even know that I would call them metal. Maybe hard rock.
Hard rock.
Like, but I would almost, they're, I was talking to my wife about it, you know, and it meant nothing to her. But I was like, they're like hard rock with a pop sensibility. Like, they definitely have a softer flavor. They, every album, I think every album ends with a ballad, which I think is a kind of a cool touch. Like, when you're listening to it, when it gets to a ballad, you go, oh, it's the last song, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of a neat little, I like that they do that. You know, Maiden got to where they used to end their albums with the
Epic.
epic tracks, but now there's like six epic tracks per album, you know?
I was thinking, I remember when I wonder if it was Seventh Son or after that, where I used to think, imagine if we could get a whole album of all the epics, that'd be awesome.
You got what you wished for then. You gotta be, remember what Blackie Lawless said back then. You didn't pay attention to what he said, you know? Be careful what you wish for. It
Well,
might
there you
come
go.
true. Yeah. So
This is it.
yeah, I thought it was a very interesting. I was really, at a certain point, I was craving each album. I was like, oh man, I want to hear the next one now. I want to see what the next one sounds like. And I kind of just thought, plus it was kind of interesting just going, is there going to be anything I've never heard off this album? You know, how many, because almost every album I've heard something. You know, there's a few here and there, like the new one, the one that was weird, techno pop or whatever. The Pure Instinct, I never heard anything off of. There's, you know.
So the techno pop one aside, is there an evolution with them musically? Like you can hear a change. Like, so Iron Maiden changed from their first album to where they are now. It's a pretty big change.
Nah, I don't think so.
Isn't that that? Oh, okay.
I think they stayed in the certain short song realms. I mean, of course, some of their ballads are 6 or 7 minutes long, and
Yeah.
but I mean, there does seem to be kind of a formula, and they get kind of accused of that in some of what I've been reading, just being kind of formulaic and what they're doing. But I'm like, I don't care if a band is formulaic or not. Like, take AC/DC. If the
I was just thinking
if
of
they're good, if the songs are still good and catchy, it's a different melody, it's a
the
different riff.
words.
Sometimes I do hear a riff that sounds a lot like something else that they've done before, but I'm like, if you're plagiarizing yourself a little bit, then hey, so be it. So, but yeah, so that's all my music listening. I got a lot of albums in this week, so not nearly as many podcasts. So, did you get any podcasts in this week?
I did get a little bit of podcasts
What'd you get? What'd you get?
in. So I got some Jim Florentine.
Huh.
It never happened. Now, I know it happened because I know I listened, I wrote it down, but I have no idea what it was about now.
Never happened
So,
stories. Never happened stories is what it
yeah,
was.
but I can't, nothing's really sticking out, but I know I listened to it because I wrote it down. The
Yeah.
only. I've only got one other podcast for the week, and this—I don't even know how I did this. I wonder if it was a Tuesday. Tell 'em Steve Dave, and I don't always mention them because sometimes there's not really anything worth mentioning. But I enjoy it, and I do listen to them. That's one podcast that I will never miss. I listen religiously every
That's
week.
the one that's got Q on it, right?
Tis, tis,
Okay.
it
Q
is.
from Impractical Jokers.
Yeah, so the only reason I bring this episode up is because Walt, one of the guys on the show, had gone and seen Ace Frehley.
Oh, okay.
So this would be within the last, you know, week or two.
Yeah.
And he was pretty favorable about it. He said, Old Ace got maybe 7.5, 8 out of 10.
Oh, nice.
But he only played one track off the new album. And one of the other guys, I think Brian Johnson, asked him if it was, he was trying to allude to Cherry Medicine, I think. Was it that he played?
It was 10,000 volts, wasn't it?
It was 10,000 volts. And yeah, he said that it sounded very good. And then he said that Ace had gone to you talked about political speeches and that within the last week or so. Ace had tried to bring something up about how they should, Iran needs to be bombed.
Oh, but no.
his little speech bombed because it got no reaction whatsoever out of the crowd, apparently.
Yeah.
But he said, no, he's like, for what he's doing, he does it really well. And there was only, he said, maybe 800 to 1,000 people or something to that effect.
Yeah, that's all he's going to usually draw. So.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, he liked it. But the other interesting discussion they had, now, I don't know if you remember this off TV back in the day. I remember seeing 60 Minutes about these twins. And the reason they stick out is because they had one body and two heads.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk been going about them, yeah.
Is it? Oh, I didn't know that. I only hear
them talking. I think they got married or something, supposedly.
That's what it was. Because then they're talking about, how does all this work?
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about how, you know, it's good that they get married, but how do you deal with this, that, and the other? But the other thing was how they, you know, they've got jobs. They work as school teachers somewhere.
That is so bizarre. It's a weird story.
But they only get one paycheck.
Well, if they're only they can only be in one class at a time, so.
This is, I don't know, it just opened up lots of questions and lots of thoughts. And so for that reason, I kind of liked
listening. That's an interesting, yeah, there's a lot of interesting. Of course, the topics I've been hearing about were a little different than that when it came to.
I can imagine. And all that kind of makes sense because they've got, I think he said they've got two sternums. I think they've got vital organs of their own, but, you know, they kind of divert from the chest upwards. But it's interesting to see that one's married and just the kind of life they'd have.
Well, anyway. And that's an off-air conversation we could talk about. I guess I don't want to get into that here.
No, I don't know. But just in general, it's like, oh, and good for them.
Sure.
I remember seeing when that first came out, what sort of life are they going to have with the situation that they're in? But apparently maybe it's working.
Yeah. I mean, hey, they're making the best of what they've been given, you know? And I mean, that's all you can really do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do. You can, I don't know. You gotta plug on through life, you know, life, you know, they say life hands you lemons and stuff like that. Sometimes, ooh, God, man, I don't know why, but man, I'm trying to cuss a bunch. So I'm really having to hold back here. You know, but life can get, you know, life can get bad for people and life can, you know, we've all known people that have had a rough hand in, you know, I mean, I know both of us have had a rough hand at times and I know plenty of other people that have been through the same thing. And it's about, you know, it's about picking up and keeping on going, you know? So
I'd say we're not special. I think some people are going through things a whole lot more than what we have.
Oh, absolutely. And I think
they're a prime example.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But it wasn't just them that I thought about.
Yeah.
With that, I also thought about, well, the person who married one of them. That's very interesting. How would you think about that? It's like a spider web of scenarios.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It just goes everywhere.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Good for
them. Yeah, that would be interesting. And they were serious about the topic. They weren't goofing on the whole thing.
No, they were serious. But it brings up funny little points.
Sure.
Obviously, yeah. You talk about, but the conversation itself, it's gone for a couple of weeks. And I guess, are they only recently married? I guess.
I don't. I just know. I noticed it's popped up on social media in the last month or so.
I'd only ever heard of it from listening to TSD. But no, it was just interesting.
Yeah.
But it was really just because of that, and Ace got a mention this week.
Well, that's cool. Ace's birthday was yesterday, so.
Happy birthday to Ace.
As of this recording. But, I mean, it's amazing to think of that guy being alive all these years later. So,
well, that's kind of what they said as well. With all the things that he's done, mm-hmm. to be where he is now, like still up and standing and playing, is
up there playing on stage. Yeah, and I mean, people complain about his guitar playing and it's sloppy and this and that. I'm like, you know what? If you go in to see Ace, you know what you're gonna get. You know, he's not.
You've got to give some allowances at that age.
You absolutely,
can't be as tight as,
yeah. You know. He's definitely not as tight, and he's sloppy, and you know, and whatever. And I mean, but it's like there's a lot of people. Like I know, like our friend Bruno, he said he posted something on I think Instagram, and he said that he thought Ace is like his favorite personality ever, his favorite
out of Kiss or ever.
I think he said his favorite celebrity personality or something like that. He posted, I wish I could find it on here. I'm trying to look really quick, but I don't see it. He hasn't responded to me or anything at this point, so. Oh, wait. Yeah, he did. He said, let's just find out.
What did Bruno say? Tide podcaster.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. He said, I said what I said wrong. He said it was his favorite rock star. And he posted a bunch of his Ace memorabilia that he had. And I asked him how he felt about his new album, 10,000 Volts.
So polarizing, perhaps?
Let's find out what Bruno has to say. I haven't even looked at it yet. I can see that there's a paragraph written out of the corner of my eye. So let's see what Bruno has for us. Just our Bruno corner for the week. I quite like the two songs I've heard, but haven't checked out the full album. I find his solo stuff very hit and miss. I kind of agree with that. I loved Anomaly, for example, but thought Space Invader was a waste of time. What do you think? I kind of feel a little bit the same. He's got hit and miss, but I think there's good stuff on every album. I don't think Space Invader was a waste of time, though. And I think 10,000 Volts is a really solid album, Bruno. So hopefully you'll hear this. I'll make a comment on there later and tell him that I'll say, yeah, you'll hear my response to this on the podcast. But yeah, I think 10,000 Volts is a solid album. I mean, you know, he had some songwriting help on it, and who cares? It's still Ace singing the songs and doing all that. And I mean, I think there's a lot of really catchy, fun stuff on there, especially for a guy his age, you know?
Well, the guy that was doing the writing with him, I read something a few weeks back, that he took all the credit and said he had written 99%. And of course, Ace fired back on that.
No, he didn't say that.
He did say that. I read what Ace had said. And Ace said that he had said this, and then the guy came and apologized to him. And
I hadn't heard that. I hadn't seen or heard that anywhere, so.
That was on the mouth, the blabbermouth. I'm sure that's where I read that.
Huh.
Well, yeah, I'm sure I read that.
What I hadn't, like I said, I hadn't seen it. Usually I figured that would have been a big headline, so. Anyway. Moving on from, yeah. So I listened to three podcasts this week. I listened to Jim Florentine's Never Happened Stories. I also went and saw Jim Florentine last night, and you know, me and my friend from work had a good time. Let's see here. I listened to a podcast called AC/DC Beyond the Thunder, and that's where they'll take fans and talk about them, right? But it's like it's more like super fans and celebrity kind of people. It's not like my podcast where we're taking guys just like me and you. But they had a guy on there named Dean Del Rey. And he's a podcaster, but he's also a stand-up comedian. He was a musician for a long time. He's a super cool guy. Super cool guy. And the other podcast I listened to was Dean Del Rey's podcast called Let There Be Talk. And when I listened to his, basically, it's his a little bit of his AC/DC story. And when he talked about a couple of episodes that he had done that I've already heard, it made me want to listen to him again. So I went back and I listened to his interview that he did with Cliff Williams from AC/DC and his interview with Phil Rudd from AC/DC. Because they were complimenting him on how, you know, Phil Rudd is just kind of a just real short guy. Like, you know, he's like, hey, man, you did great tonight. Thanks. You know, he's not going to give you the big long. He's kind of like AC/DC's version of Kirsty the first time I met her. Kirsty's the Phil Rudd of this podcast.
She is.
She used to be.
You better watch out. She'll put a hit on you.
Now she's turned into a dental podcaster. You know, whenever she's. maybe I shouldn't. It doesn't work as well. I'm talking about, yeah. So
leave it alone.
Yeah. That which is understood need not. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. But I listened to the two that they were talking about how, you know, he did really good with Phil, and so I was like, you know what? I listened to those when they came out. They were really cool. So I went back and I listened again, and I really, really enjoyed those two episodes. I highly recommend anyone, if you're an AC/DC fan, it's just cool hearing him, you know, talk to Cliff and Phil, who don't really do interviews. You know, both of them are kind of just, they're never out there. If there's an interview, it's either Brian or Angus. So
mm-hmm.
It's really cool. Really cool to hear him. And that's the only podcast I listen to. So, yeah, I mainly...
Podcast Light. This week.
Yeah, I mean, I did. I'm trying to think. I don't even think I listened to the episodes that we did. So,
neither did I.
Yeah, so I might have listened to a little bit of what we did on Patreon. I might have listened to some of that just because I was trying to find something or find a certain comment that one of us had said. But, okay, so we also did a Waffle Zone last week, Matthew, and let's do the thank yous for the Waffle Zone real quick. And let me read the highlight reel thing that the clickbait reel, right? That's what you called it. So I said,
letting fruit.
So I wrote, lots of music and podcast talk. Two, Matt calls his own bluff again. I don't remember what bluff you called last week, but
I don't know.
I can't remember. I know it wasn't the Bali one, but, that's the one that sticks out. Then I just said three, sorry, sorry, sorry. Four, just continue, please. That was a reference to me, I guess, when I just completely lost it because of you.
What did I do?
You were sending me something about Nico and... yeah. Okay. And there was something else. Oh, there was another phrase you sent me about... I think you might remember that phrase you sent me. If you look at your texts right now, I'm sure you could find it pretty quick.
I did get a laugh out of that. I saw the picture again during the week at one point, early in the week. I still got a chuckle. I had to zoom in. Just make sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that made me laugh last week.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple people actually commented on it and said, what the hell? And I just, I didn't even comment. I just thought, I don't even want to say it because I didn't notice it when I put it out there. So
that was all I saw. I said, what's going on here?
Well, it goes to show what an RP is looking for and what the average, you know, person's looking for.
That is not what I was looking for.
You know, let's see. Well, here, I'll skip that.
Sometimes you just can't unsee things, and that was one
yeah,
of the time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I couldn't ever since after I noticed what you told me, I couldn't unsee it. Yeah, so. So the next
age of innocence is closed.
Yeah, exactly. It's fading like an old dream. Yeah. So number five said William/Bill/Kevin/Cabin/huh?
Mm-hmm.
Then there was six. I'm trying to think of what you called your own bluff on because I wrote seven are Matt's burning fires. I can't remember.
I don't know. Sometimes I see your headings. I was like, I don't know what he's talking about here.
Yeah.
Because I forget.
Yeah. And then I wrote eight, lots of laughter. So I know we got some laughter. There was even a snort from you at least one. So
was that the Dicko brain photo?
Somewhere, yeah. So, okay, let me read these reposts, retweets real quickly. We got the Scouse chatbot 1.0, David Laird in Liverpool, England. Jesse the Riffweiser in Illinois. Jesse's been putting some Iron Maiden guitar little pieces up on Twitter lately. Yep. I know he put Passchendaele up the other day, some of it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay.
The official detention teacher of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone, Gen Mariutani in Chiba, Japan. The Judas Priest cast in Walsall. One of your favorite cooks, the Rockarola in Idaho.
I wonder what he's up to.
I don't know. Then we got, let's see here, a guy with snow in his beard in Finland somewhere.
Hey, good luck.
Hey, Mega.
Mega what?
I can't say anymore. Mega P, Mega P.
Mega P, what does that mean? Mega P.
Villa knows. And actually, the next person knows too. Kirsty Prince in Perth, Australia, who would be telling us to move on at this point.
Yeah, she speaks a bit of Finnish, so she would know.
Yeah, she knows. And last up is Simeon, your man on the street in Finland, in France. So
he's liking around. Maybe he's been to Finland. We don't know.
Could be.
I think we would have known.
Yeah, we would know that. And there's only
colossal names like Villa and Simeon. You'd have to. That would have gotten out.
Yeah, it would have. That would have been blabbermouth news right there.
Exactly. Yeah, clickbait.
Yeah, exactly. So next up, we have one tweet, and it's from your main man at Metal Cavern Podcasting. Some would call him the guy at the who lives in a metal cabin.
Oh, I think I know this person.
Yeah. And it says, another great listen. Always feels as though I'm in a four-way conversation, but I can't get a word in.
Oh, it must be Billiam.
I won't call him that, but I don't know if that offends him. I think that offends him.
I don't offend him. I know it offended somebody else.
It's possible.
I was told. Do you know about that?
Don't know if you were told or not, but I might know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy got upset. Yeah. Because she said you were combining her name and Williams. She didn't like that.
I didn't realize that when I did it. It just kind of popped out, and then I heard later. I was like, oh, someone's already used this.
Yeah. He said lots of laughs and some other music podcasts to check out. No threats from Matt to review Alice in Hell either. Just an awesome album.
I have to check when the Aha album has its anniversary.
Oh, God. Okay, let's see here. What else?
That was awesome, too. I was really stoked when I found out he did that. I was pumped that night.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you were. I mean, I'm glad, you know, it's art. It's art, and art is subjective, as we all know, so.
Mm-hmm.
So the next episode that we did was we reviewed concert lineups, the best concert lineups that we've ever attended. We didn't name them all though, but here's who reshared it. Here's who shared it. The Scouse chatbot again, David Laird in Liverpool, England, the 1.0, the original.
He's the OG.
The OG chatbot. Then we got Randy in Cincinnati, Ohio. Then we got the Lord of Light, the most English of English gentlemen, Lord Andrew of Sussex. He's also Georgie's dad and Sonia's husband. He's got many other nicknames, including the Weekend Warrior and the headmaster, but I don't want to get into all the rest of them. Next up, we have, how can I say this name? Deomizu.
Well, I was thinking, how about correctly? But I guess we're not going to do that.
Demozio. Tell me how you would spell, how you would pronounce this name. Ready? You got a pen? Okay, just type this down or whatever.
Yep.
Write it in.
Yep.
D is in dog. A is in apple. M is in Mary. O is in Aussie. I as in Iron Maiden. Z is in Zaza. E is in Edward. A is in apple. And U as in under. Now pronounce it.
Demizo? Demizo? Hang on.
Thank you.
Oi. Demizo.
Yeah.
Demizo, maybe.
There you go.
Or Mr. Mr. D.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. If I was in Australia, I'd be like, I don't know his name. Hey, mate.
Hey, how you doing, mate? And he is from Auvergne, France. Hey, maybe
you're going to go where I was going to go.
Yeah, maybe him and Simeon. Maybe they're friends.
He says, If there's anyone else that would know, it could be him.
Yeah.
Got his ear to the ground.
Next up, we have Unity 18 from Earth. I'm not sure where on Earth, but on Earth somewhere. Maybe hell on Earth.
It's a pretty big place.
Yeah, it is. It is. Then the next up is the happiest man in podcast land, Gen Maritani in Chiba, Japan.
Also of Earth.
Oh, next up is one of our old mates. One of my old mates for sure. Haven't talked to him in a little while, but we're working on something. Luis Mariano in Spain. You remember him?
I do, indeed.
Yeah. Author of
I was wondering how he was going, actually.
Yeah. You know what?
I didn't.
You should ask him right now.
Welcome to the podcast, Lewis.
How you doing, Lewis?
I hope him and all the family are very well. And yeah. I'm sure that they must be settled, and hopefully anyway.
Yeah, and yeah.
Things are on a positive trajectory for them.
Yeah, I hope that as well. Next up is the Judas Priest cast in Walsall. Matt's personal chef, Rockarola in Idaho. And then we got John B. in Bemidji, Minnesota. Then we got...
Bemidji always makes me think of Budgie Smuggler. Just like, I had to get it out.
That's what Bon Scott called him. Or no, he called him something else. I can't remember what he...
Yeah.
Then we got the official Finnish correspondent from our podcast.
Jokila.
Yeah. And then we have our official Finnish translator from the podcast.
Not Villa.
Hi, Kirsty.
Hey, Kirst.
Then we have our official man on the street for Matthew, the guy who finds out where the 103-year-old grandmas might be getting tea, Simeon in France.
He's the man, knows what's going on. He knows how it is.
Now we have some... Tweet twotes, some post twotes, some tweet twotes, some quote twotes, post quotes, you know, those things. First up is...
She'd tell you to hurry up.
First up, we have the guy, that podcast that when you listen to it, they always go, you're listening to, it's Metal Cavern Podcasting Network.
How's it go?
Metal Cavern Podcasting Network. You know, you've
heard
that
one. He says it like that. I don't know if I've heard
that's
that.
How they say it, yeah. And he said, not easy in Australia when it's unusual to have great support to international headline acts, but Download 19 with Slayer. This is a pretty good one. Slayer, Judas Priest, Alice in Chains, and Anthrax on the main stage was pretty hectic. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Priest, Alice in Chains, and Anthrax, and Slayer. Heck, that's good. That's really good. Then we have, I don't know where he's at anymore, does he say? It still says Charleston, North Carolina, but I'm quite sure Eric, and, you know, our friend Eric, formerly of Waffle Zone fame.
Yeah.
He, like I said, it says South Carolina. I could swear he moved. Update your Twitter account, man, so I can say it right. But he said, haven't listened to this episode yet, but not including festivals, the best lineup I saw was Exodus, Camelot, Ghost, and Iron Maiden for the Book of Souls tour.
Oh, that's an interesting little lineup.
Yeah, he said he was not a fan of Camelot. Camelot with a K.
Yeah, they're pretty busy from what I've heard.
Okay.
Sounding.
And he said, a good second was some local metal band in Atlanta opening for Municipal Waste and Exodus. So, Exodus is in both of his best concert lineups ever.
And you know Municipal Waste, don't you? I've seen a couple of people mention them.
I mean, I know
Pot of Thunder did an episode on them. And said it was like the best chorus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, 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 yeah. I remember that. That's funny. So, next up was the happiest. What's another nickname for his man? The official Dave Murray of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. Matt's
Not
keeper.
this week. He's not going to be happy.
Uh-oh, why?
Well, he's Pud Light. He hasn't got Three Stooges this week.
Oh yeah, I know he'll probably this he'll once he turns it on, he'll be like, ah, here's one I can skip.
I can skip, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll see you next week then.
Yeah. So what he said was Iron Maiden, Arch Enemy, and Sonata Arctica in 04 was my first and all-time favorite concert. Black Sabbath, golly. Black Sabbath and Judas Priest and Slayer in 04 comes a close second. That's pretty good. Even though Ozzy's vocal wasn't great at that time, the groove created by Tony Geezer and Bill was unbelievable. Yeah, can't argue with that. This is a good one too. We got this is Randy again in Cincinnati, Ohio, and he said Slayer farewell tour with Anthrax and Testament and others. That's a good lineup. Pantera and White Zombie. I saw that show once. That was good. Maiden and Queensryche. I saw that show as well with but with Halford as well.
What year was that? Was that the 2001?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now Queensryche may have opened for Maiden at another time that I'm not remembering, but
Yeah.
the next one I was confused on because it was Iron Maiden, Dio, and Motorhead. And I said that they opened for the Blaze era of the band, which they did, but they also apparently opened for Iron Maiden on the Give Me Ed Till I'm Dead tour.
Oh, even later. Oh, okay.
So there was two separate tours with that lineup, which is
Yeah.
interesting. That's interesting. Then he wrote Poison, Cinderella, Dokken, and Slaughter. You can roll your eyes, Steve, but it was a great show. And I did re respond and said, yeah, Cinderella had to have been pretty good on that one. And well, let me see. I'll just tell you what I said to him and what he responded. I said, I love Cinderella. I like Dokken as well. I would have left before Poison took the stage, as you will hear this week. And he said, I felt the same going in, but believe it or not, Poison was pretty damn good. Could have done without Unskinny Bop. Yeah, I'm sure that's been uttered a time or two. I said, I'll take your word for it. I wouldn't sit through them unless I was waiting for the following band, and even at that, I'd be out walking around or something. And he said, Cinderella stole the show, and I said, oh, they are easily the best of those four. So that was that commentary between us. Jesse in Illinois, he said, Testament and Maiden, which I think. If it's the right tour, it would have been, yeah. He said, Fear of the Dark and the Ritual tour. I believe Corrosion of Conformity was also on that tour, but maybe they weren't up in Illinois. So, let's see. Someone named Eddie Maiden, who is in Hillsdale, New Jersey, and he said the best show he ever went to was at Donington Park. It looks like it would have been the Seventh Son of a Seventh Son tour. Iron Maiden, Kiss, David Lee Roth, Megadeth, Guns N' Roses, and Helloween.
That'll be a goodie.
That would have been a good show to. That would have been a good lineup to see. I don't. Maybe I won't say it would have been a good show to be at.
No, but
I wish I would have been at that show. But yeah, that's a controversial one there. Okay, the next person said the same thing. And his name is not here, but there. And I don't know where he's located. But he said
over here.
Helloween, Guns N' Roses, Megadeth, David Lee Roth with Steve Vai, Kiss, and Iron Maiden. Let's see here. Stephanie J, born in London, now in Devon. I don't know where that's at. I'm sure Kirsty does. And if Kirsty doesn't, I'm sure the most English of English gentlemen would. She said, best one-day event, Sabbath at Hyde Park, Motorhead, Faith No More, and Soundgarden supporting.
That'll be interesting.
That's a good. Yeah. Let's see. Yep, and that is all of the people that shared the. Let's see. Is that all of them? Let me see. Did I cover all the rest of those? Yeah, I did. That's all of them, Matt. That's it.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote. That's all for the waffle this week. Anything else? Any closing words? Any other topics that we need to discuss while we're here?
No, I think it's been a pretty varied conversation. I was still looking at Demoiso's name, wondering if we got it right. Maybe someone could let us know.
Yeah.
Because now I'm curious.
So I'll say this. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. We always appreciate that. If you want to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. And for as low as, 30 cents a day, you can support a starving podcaster. That it starts as low as $3 and I think 33 cents. So
give a dog a bone.
Yeah. And you get lots of content, lots of behind the scenes conversations and, you know, little scattered other things here and there. The people that are there all seem to like it. So that's good. And
the little group, the little Patreon group chat.
Yeah. You'll be in the Patreon group chat if you want to. You don't have to be in there. Not everybody's in there. I'm also on Cameo if anyone wants to give a birthday shout out to somebody. And I decided that I would just lower the cost because I was like, no one wants to pay $15 to get that. It is a simple way to give a little bit of support to the podcast and get a little something back in return, and it just be a one-time gift if you want to. But you can.
So how much are you paying the people now?
I think it's like $7 or something like that. I think I cut it more than cut it in half.
I'll give you $7 if you let me do a cameo for you.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. What else? You can email the podcast if you like. You can email us at IronMaidenPodcast@gmail.com if you want any feedback on the show. Hey, how about this? I don't ever ask for people to give reviews of the show or like go to Spotify. I think on Spotify, you can go on there and just click on stars, you know, go give us a 5-star review, you know?
There's probably a good reason we don't ask people to do that though.
Yeah. We got Kirstie on here a lot. You gotta give us a 5-star review for that. I mean, you never would have heard Kirstie's voice.
I guess you could start it.
Yeah. If I start with that, I mean, if you talk about our voices, then, you know, I don't want 1-star.
Start chipping away.
That's right. That's right. So, but you can go on. I know they do that on Spotify. You can do reviews on Apple. And I tell you what, if you do that, if you go write a review up, like screenshot it, send me a DM or email it to me, and we'll 100% read it on the podcast. I just don't ever see them. Like I don't get alerted when I get one. So I just don't. Yeah. So
not even your own ones.
No, I don't. It's kind of weird. It's weird how all that works.
Into the void.
I think people, some podcasters are way more in tune with it and they're really trying to pay a lot of attention to it. I just like to come on here and have a good time. Me and you and Kirstie, me and you, me and Kirstie, whatever it is. We all come on here. We have a good chat, have some laughs, talk music. It don't get much better than that, right? Okay. Last thing I'll say. I'll give you, I don't usually tell what's coming up because I'm not that kind of person. I like to keep secrets. But next month is May, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month, right? I think music is a huge, huge key in my life to my mental health being decent. I think without music, I would be just a really messed up individual.
I was just thinking, if you're like this with music, imagine you without.
Exactly. And I know many other people feel the same way. So next month, there's going to be 4 episodes that come out. And each of those episodes is a conversation that I've had with someone who's been a guest before. And we're talking about music and how it affects our mental health. It's a conversational topic. It's not anything. It's not like me asking very pointed questions or anything like that. It was just a conversation talking about what music means to us. And I think it's going to be the conversations have all been very interesting, and it music really does mean a lot to us. It's helped a lot of people through a lot of things. And when we get to that, I would really like to hear stories, you know, emails. If I can, I'll say this, I'll put this out there right now. If you'd like to email me, ironmaidenpodcast@gmail.com, and write down what music means to you and, you know, how it's affected you in a positive way, how it's affected your mental health, we'll read it out on the podcast next week. We'll read it out on the waffle. It'll be on the waffle. And I think that'd be really cool to share people's insights and thoughts. So with that, Matthew, let's get out of here.
Let's go to bed. Let's go to bed. You know what I mean?
It's time to go to bed. Man, I'm starting
to... Oh, God. Don't put that in your 7 or your 8 or whatever.
Let's go to bed.
Let's click back.
Yeah, there we go. So, Matthew.
All right.
Cheers.
Bye.